A graphic novel, a TV show. Well, it's not TV, it's HBO. And will this thing succeed? And by how much, man? And some might cheer and some might scoff, because it's Damon Lindelof. But either way, we're off to watch some Watchmen. Watching Watchmen, talking Watchmen, analyzing Watchmen, and maybe arguing over Watchmen.
Welcome to Watchmen Watch, where we watched Watchmen on our watches and you watched it on your watches. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are doing an episode 2.5.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Love it.
Like a little bit of a bonus episode. This is just going up in the Watchmen Watch feed for you all. And what we do on these bonus episodes is we talk about the promo for the next episode, general things going on in the world, maybe some supplementary material. Justin, what
are
you
think? Talking about the Pedipedia?
Ooh, Pedipedia.
Alex loves supplements.
I love Pedi, and I love Pedipedia, and Pete loves Pedi and Pedipedia. Right, Pete?
I don't know what you're talking about.
We'll talk about it in a second. We're also
going to
talk about
Pedipedia.
Yeah. And a Justinpedia and an Alexpedia. And we're going to talk about the promo for the next episode of the show.
Woo-hoo!
But this is the bonus episode for Martial Feats of Comanche Horsemanship. I was listening back to the last episode, first of all. I think I said Comanche wrong every single time.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah, so I apologize.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Did you say congrats?
Yeah.
It's hard to do it that wrong.
Yeah, I did it
you
very
did it
wrong.
The most wrong.
The most wrong. Since we're a few days removed now from that episode, first thing we could probably actually talk about is ratings. This isn't necessarily like a hardcore ratings
Ooh,
podcast.
No, we're big in ratings.
Huge numbers.
So, give us the numbers.
Yeah,
they're what are we talking?
Well, stocks are up and they're down and they're bullish and they're bearish. The first episode of the show was a big premiere for HBO.
Yeah.
They're very excited about it. On general broadcast numbers, it doesn't sound that big, but initially they were saying, including streaming numbers, it was about 1.5 million on the first night for the first episode.
Nice.
Which
Good friends.
Their
yeah.
biggest debut, and with the, I believe, 800,000 in the first broadcast of the 9 p.m. Eastern broadcast.
Yes. Solid.
That
Solid.
Made it the
Better
biggest
than Super Bowl.
Best pay cable debut of the year so far.
Nice.
Huge Suck win.
Huge win.
Better than the Puppy Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, the second episode was down a little bit in the first night.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. I think it was at about like 1.4 million.
That's very good.
But the better news for the show, I would say, is that by this point, by the second episode, the first episode through streaming had amassed 5 million viewers.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Better the show's going to live forever.
Better than the Super Bowl.
You guys are hyping this up quite a bit.
That's what we are.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I'll say, the reason I bring this up is I was...
Yeah, why the fuck are we talking about
Mr.
this?
Mr. Numbers over here.
The reason I was talking about this is because I was honestly like a little concerned after the first numbers, because they were like, this is better than Succession. And I was like, nobody watched Succession.
But a great show.
A great show. The only people who watched it were media people who were writing about it and talking about it.
Yeah.
That's
going to win some Emmys this year.
100%.
Yeah.
But that's going to win some Emmys, and people are going to be like, what, Succession?
Yeah.
So I was concerned that it was at that level, but it definitely seems to be growing and growing week to week. I'm curious to hear from you guys. Have you talked to any non-comic book folks? Have they been checking out the show?
Yes. In fact, a lot of people are like, can I borrow a copy of Watchmen? Mm-hmm. I've only ever seen the movie. And I'm like, yes, please.
Oh,
let
God,
me
take
help
this.
You.
Yeah.
And I literally today at work, someone's like, I want to read Watchmen. I was like, great. And then I was like, have you ever read comics before? And
they was like, which work were you at?
My main work at a show called Desus and Mero.
Okay, oh, not cool. The ice cream shop?
No, I'll do the ice cream truck. that I drive around. It's getting colder, but people love ice cream.
Yeah, they do.
I'm the ice cream man.
I love when you sing like that, by the way.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I appreciate the fact that you don't have the...
I sing live in a mic.
The ice cream.
I'm here. Come out, kids. It's the ice cream man. Imagine how I feel.
Oh man, I can't.
Anyway, so he was like, I don't read comics. I was like, great. Well, let me walk you through like what a lot like the Golden Age, the Silver Age.
Yeah, but you can't give someone who hasn't read comics Watchmen right out of the box.
But they were
wanted to read it for the show.
Yeah, but you should be like, you withhold
it. You're like,
you're not ready yet. You've got to read other things, and then I'll give you Watchmen.
How many other comics do they have to read?
A couple other graphic novels. Before
like which ones? Which ones do they need to read first?
Yeah.
Why the Last Man? You got to read that first.
That's so unrelated.
It doesn't matter. It gives
Bone.
You a little
You
got to
read Bone.
You got to read Bone. Yeah. You got to read Bone.
Yeah. Read Mouse, but Volume 2.
Yeah,
definitely. Give them Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Eastman and Laird. Like, let them dip their toe in.
Oh, definitely. Any random issue of Jughead. Then you're ready for Watchmen.
Jughead's Time, Please?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. I do think,
to your point, because I've
got
to
set the stage.
Yes, you absolutely do set the stage, but I would say because the show is going on right now, that for me, that rule is out. That I've generally told people, they've asked me, like, I've never read Watchmen. I'm not really into superhero shows. Can I watch the show? I'll say, yes, absolutely you can. That the Masked Vigilante thing, for the plot, it's explained in there, but it's not really about superheroics necessarily. You don't need to have read Watchmen. But if you have read Watchmen, if you have watched superhero shows, it overall becomes a richer experience when you're watching it, I think.
And that's what I want to. I think everyone should have that richer experience.
Yeah.
So I was just priming them with a little comic book information about like what the Minutemen
were based on. Yeah, you can't just slap somebody in the face with Watchmen.
I can slap anyone in the face that I want.
You're the true vigilante. Right.
I'm a monster. Everyone hates me in my office. Everyone hates me in my office.
Yeah.
But I do think. Do we want to talk about more maybe takeaways from the episode?
Yeah, sure. Let's keep talking about ratings.
Well, as far as other people outside of comics that I've talked to, the fact that like they're talking about race and dealing it with it in a way, you know, that big event that they kind of like talked about, that has gotten people talking, and I'm very
Tulsa riots.
Yeah, the Tulsa riots and you know all those black people killed. So it's like it's great that it's. They're starting with such a powerful statement, building a show around that, and
I do think this is again why I thought the ratings thing is interesting. It is seeing beyond an HBO bump. HBO generally was something like Chernobyl or The Night of. We'll always see a climb for those buzzy shows, and it's a very consistent climb across the board.
Yeah.
But the fact that it went up to 5 million for the first episode is
tripled. Over tripled.
Pretty big.
Yeah.
And I think it does have a lot to do with that, where it has these events like the Tulsa riots, like at the beginning of here, like we were talking about in the last episode of the podcast, talking about African-American soldiers in World War I, that it has this real-world basis. People are looking into it. It's teaching people things, and it's getting to discuss things in the real world beyond the comic book of it all, which I think is fantastic.
And it's great responsibility to use the platform to teach some people some things and shed some light on some stuff.
It's almost like they have great power to put on this show, and they're doing cool things.
Yep.
Yep.
With great power, cool things.
Cool things.
Yeah, that's DC's
like ice cream.
Model.
Like ice cream. Yeah. Thank you.
It's different from Marvel's
Here
take.
Comes the ice cream, man.
Yes. Anything else left over from last week's episode?
We haven't talked about this, but there was some chatter about this online and in articles about how violent the cutaway to the was
American
it called?
Heroes
American Hero story was. Yeah. And maybe that's a reference to the movie. And how violent and ridiculous that was. Sort of a little commentary on how we take these stories.
So I could definitively say it's not. Nice. That was my initial take on it as well. But at my day job, which is another ice cream truck, Pete.
No. A rival one.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
How are you guys so calmly sitting opposite sides?
He does vanilla and I do chocolate.
Oh, man.
Never get it together.
Get out of here. People are like, I want a twist. I'm like, no.
I'll never mix them.
That's why I don't show you guys this ice cream trucks.
Yeah. You're not going to open a twist truck.
Though. I'm going to open a twist truck.
Oh, yeah, I can't believe I said that.
So at my day job, one of the writers that I work with talked to Damon Lindelof about this and straight up asked him, they're like, hey, this seems Zack Snyder-esque. Is this Zack Snyder? He's like, oh, actually not at all. Yeah. The American Hero story stuff is all based on Ryan Murphy, who... he likes a lot. David Lindelof really enjoys his shows. It's not specifically American Crime Story, which you might think is like the closest connection there.
Yeah.
It's more in line with an American Horror Story or his campy shows. Glee, for example, where it's supposed
known
to
for how violent it was. Glee.
Mr. Shu got chopped in half in the last episode.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. So it's a Ryan Murphy show. It's supposed to be over the top. It's supposed to be violent like that. It's supposed to be shocking and in your face and jarring. I think, I don't know if this is 100% true, but on Pedopedia,
okay,
here we go. The recent files that were dropped, he does talk about American Hero Story in there. And we talked about this on the podcast a little bit, but apparently in the world of the show, this is the second season of American Hero Story we're watching. The first season was more serious and focused almost exclusively on Rorschach. Mm. And to me, that feels like, I don't know how much you guys know about American Crime Story, but the second season of American Crime Story was the assassination of Gianni Versace.
Yes.
And focused almost exclusively on Gianni Versace's murderer in a very serious and heartfelt way where they got under his skin without necessarily feeling sympathy for him. And I think that's what they were suggesting. The first season was like, the second season is American Hero Story Minutemen, and I do think it's supposed to be more in line with an American Horror Story, gross over-the-top type thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I read the Zack Snyder thing into it, and I think a lot of other people did. They're like, this is a dig, and it's not at all.
It would have been intense to dig in at Zack Snyder in this show, second episode. Another thing I want to talk about is the thing going around about how he leaves and then comes back to Sister Knight's hideout. But he also, he's supposed to be frail and weak, but he holds a hot coffee, drinks it, and then peels a very hot, hard-boiled egg.
Yeah. Yeah, this came up on our Patreon Slack a little bit as well, right?
Yeah.
That Patreon Slack is on top of things.
It's popping. It's popping in the Watchmen
room.
Very
cool way to describe it.
Thank you. Is this an issue? Is it an issue to drink hot coffee and peel a hot egg?
No, people are saying it's a clue that he has powers.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's revealing he's not as frail and as weak as he...
Because they build up so much that he couldn't have hung Judd.
Right.
And
right.
But the idea is, he actually is pretty strong.
A hung human body is a lot like a peeled hard-boiled egg.
True.
I'm a doctor.
Yeah. A doctor.
You play one in Lock and Key.
I did.
Great.
I don't know. That, again, like, I think he just drinks a cup of coffee and peels an egg. Not 100%.
Dude, you don't know how hot that egg was.
Yeah,
He
grabbed it right out of the water and was handling it.
Can I say something absolutely horrible? Yeah. I read that as just like, oh, that's old bad skin.
What the fuck does that mean?
What are you hoping for when you get older?
Yeah, when you get older?
You don't get old man's skin.
Yeah, what's old man's skin?
It's like all calluses and you can't really feel anything in your fingers.
That's not about just getting old. And let me tell you, Alex, your job, typing, not going to give you old man's skin.
Yeah. I think I'm going to get
that. No, you're going to get old man, like, return, like, send finger.
Yeah, like just an imprint of a...
That's if you work in a carpenter for 50 years.
Well, but it's like, okay, but it's like a chef, right? You constantly are sticking your finger. Is that more reasonable?
Yes, but... Okay. You're not getting that.
Yeah,
no,
I'm not getting that.
No,
but I'm saying.
So you're saying Will's a secretly a chef?
Yes.
Interesting theory.
Is if he keeps sticking his fingers into hot boiled eggs, I don't think that he has powers. I just think he's stuck his fingers in a lot of boiling pots.
Okay,
old man skin.
Yeah,
that explains. I love how that's where your mind.
What a great hero! What a great hero!
I'm backing off the old man skin. Now I'm sticking with my theory that he's a chef.
Okay,
cool. Big reveal. Episode 8, he makes a 12-course dinner.
What do you take away from it?
I think it. He keeps saying, I couldn't have hung him.
Right.
Or no, he says, I did hang him. And she's like,
I'm the man who hung your sheriff.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, you couldn't have done that. You're too frail. And I think he's admitting it for a reason. Everything he said, I think, is going to end up being true. He's like, yeah. I have friends in high places.
I think
he
that's literally gets the picked thing. Up. Like, he did do a bunch of stuff, but he also had a lot of help.
Is he hooded justice is another theory going around. Mm-hmm.
I think the stuff that we talked about in the first episode, he's wearing the same colors as Hooded Justice. He is next to a noose. So, I mean, that seems like a pretty clear visual connection as well.
Yeah.
It'd be weird if he wasn't.
Yes. So, I don't know. That's my main theory right now. I think that makes the most sense to me.
He's Hooded Justice, the chef. Is your theory?
Certainly
that's
Minutemen,
your working. That's your working theory.
That's my working theory. The American Hero Story Minutemen special, the series, whatever it is also clearly focusing on Hooded Justice and the history of Hooded Justice quite a bit. I'm blanking on the names, but I think it's Mueller is the strong man.
Or Mueller, yeah,
yeah, who was left for dead. That's from. Oh my gosh, what's Hollis Mason's book, Under the Hood?
Under the Hood.
Yeah, I think that's from the supplementary material in Watchmen.
There it is.
The comic book where he talks about that, where they found this dead body around the same time that Hooded Justice disappeared. So everybody assumed the strong man was probably Hooded Justice, who was dead. We're told in the text of the show that no, this is actually somebody else. This is potentially a little thing, but in the credits, the dude playing Hooded Justice, which is another funny shout out, is Cheyenne Jackson, who is one of the main dudes that Ryan Murphy always uses for American Horror Story and other things.
Yeah, that's funny.
He's one of the five guys that looks exactly like Matt Bomer. So that's a funny little shout out there. But again, I think like we're getting a focus on the history there. So certainly in some way that's going to tie in, it seems like.
It's a great mystery. I like. Yeah. Will is a very interesting character. The way he flew in the magnet from the sky was great.
Yeah. Any other things left over from martial feats of Comanche horsemanship before we move on? No? Let's talk about the promo for She Was Killed by Space Junk, the third episode of the series that dropped immediately afterwards. Lots of big reveals and seeds in there. Any specific images or things either of you would like to call out in particular that you were struck by?
Well, Laurie, introduction of Laurie Blake is huge.
Right. Yes.
And she, in a show where Sister Knight is such a badass, and she walks in and is like, I don't give a fuck about any of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is awesome. Like, very excited to see where that goes.
What a fucking badass entrance that was.
She's great.
Like, who are you guys? I couldn't give a shit.
So there's a couple of things with
Laurie
Blake.
Also not wearing a mask or any kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting thing, again, from the materials that they released, I believe, this week. They had a little bit about the law and the history of the law. There was a sort of obituary for Judd Crawford that they released. And one of the things that they said in that is that the after the White Knight, they passed a law. The law was passed by Senator Keene Jr., who is the senator that we met in the last episode.
Yes.
Who is the son of the guy who did the Keene Act that outlawed vigilantes. So he came in, passed this law that cops in the Tulsa area all have to wear masks, but police officers in authority positions do not wear masks. So that's why Judd Crawford didn't wear a mask.
Yeah.
Laurie Blake is also not in Tulsa, and as we discovered, this seemingly is only happening in Tulsa right now.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason she's not wearing a mask at all. But also another couple of things that we discovered that aren't in the show yet. So she's called Laurie Blake now in the comic book. She was Laurie Jupiter or Laurie Jispowicz.
Yeah.
I never know how to pronounce
it. Hard to pronounce that.
She was originally the Silk Spectre. She was teamed up with Dan Dreiberg, the Night Owl, Night Owl 2, ran away with him, and sometime in the intervening years took on the identity of her father, the comedian, and became the Comedienne, was the name that she took on, which was teased in her last appearance in Watchmen, where she says, I don't know, I'm going to try another costume, maybe something with leather and a mask and a gun, which is based on Eddie Blake, her father. Also, she took the last name of her father for the rest of her professional life, and that's seemingly where we're meeting her as she pops up on the show.
Which is an intense choice. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Super intense choice.
So I'm very curious what that means and if we're going to actually get that explanation. Because it's not like we've talked about the comedian in this show.
Right.
And I don't know if we will.
Yeah. I hope not.
You don't want them to?
No.
Why not?
Because comedian rape people, he was a horrible person.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can't talk about him.
No.
I guess we'll see.
Was there any images you wanted to bring up, Pete? Anything from the promo?
Well, the promo did a really great job of getting you hyped for the next episode. I really liked the
shots.
That's
what they do, man. That's what they do.
Yeah, and the kind of vest, the trigger vest, where it's like, you know.
Yeah, we see members of the 7th Cavalry with a suicide bomb vest.
Yeah. And that's what they were building during the montage in the last episode.
Yes.
With all the batteries?
Well, we don't really know.
We don't know what the battery is.
Okay.
But we did see in the middle there was that montage of everybody watching American Hero Story and getting ready at the beginning. We saw the 7th Cavalry building a vest. I would assume that's the same vest that we see there.
There's a great line that that Lori is, she says, and God just snapped his fingers and sent the hero to hell. Is that a reference to Rorschach? Dr. Manhattan and Rorschach?
That certainly seems like it, right? I don't know that he necessarily snapped his fingers. He sort of more pointed at
him. He pointed at him, but yeah. I think the idea is still there. Or is she referencing Thanos?
Yeah.
Probably Thanos.
Yeah, she's probably like, did you see Avengers Endgame?
Yeah.
That movie was the bomb. Well, anyway, anything about the Jeremy Irons section in there?
Well, that's where the promo starts. Yeah. And I'm surprised how much this is at the center of the show. Every episode, it seems like we're getting more of this.
Yeah, I do think from a promo perspective, it makes a lot of sense because, A, Jeremy Irons, big star, B, they're crazy images to throw in there, and every single one of his lines are like, and now it begins!
Yeah, real P.T. Barnum.
Well, they're perfect for an ad, so I understand why they're putting a lot of him in there.
And he has one of his like clone robots in a suit, sort of a submergible suit, it looks like.
Yeah.
Or a handmade space suit.
Yeah, or something.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
Are we going to learn that maybe he's on Mars? Is that a spacesuit that he's going to force one of these dudes to step out?
Well, we certainly spent a lot of time talking about this. And again, not to keep calling out the Patreon Slack, but there's a lot of discussion on there about what's going on with these scenes.
Yeah.
And I think somebody brought up the theory, or maybe, I don't know. I've read too much about the show at this point, so it's all blended together. But whether he is Adrian Veidt or Dr. Manhattan, like we're talking about here on the podcast, there was a theory, I think there was a theory that I read that he is Dr. Manhattan pretending to be Adrian Veidt to understand, to give himself limitations.
Yeah. Well, or the theory I had, which is sort of the opposite of that, is it's him taking on Veidt because Veidt's the only person that beat him, that sort of outthought him.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me that he would try to inhabit that body and then go crazy. He's maybe gone crazy.
Yeah, you got to inhabit that body.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Inhabit that body.
Let's get to some tweets and questions, if you guys don't.
Tweets and questions.
Another thing.
Yeah, just a couple more things. The senator, he seems, what do we think? Villain. He's at a press conference rallying everyone, saying he's going to save the day.
Yeah. He certainly seems smarmy enough to me, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But he's the one that had the police officers put masks on.
Right.
He's also in the episode with Judd's wife, seemingly pretty cool with him dying. And
he also, the fact that he is the son of Senator Keene and seemingly has reversed the policies of his father.
Yeah.
Certainly points to something they're going to explore there. I mean, whether it is he, you can't necessarily say that the elder Keene was right for outlawing vigilantes.
Yeah.
But him bringing back vigilantes seems like a very deliberate provocation.
You just hate your dad, you know?
Oh, yeah.
True. He's opening a cage and there's an owl inside. That dude.
That seems pointed.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's like an owl.
That's a good
pet. It's literally an owl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan Dreiberg in this continuity is in prison, so that's a good metaphor.
Yeah. Any we see image? Some owl glasses. There's a lot of owl or night owl references here. So
maybe this is the night owl episode. Maybe
I would be very excited for that. We also get the Curse of the Black Freighter flag.
Yes, there you go.
In this upcoming episode with Jeremy Irons riding his white horse behind it.
Amazing. Love it. Good horse rider, that man. Let's get to some of your tweets before we start to wrap up here. From Tracy Todd, do you think Adrian Veidt, with his god complex, harbors a jealousy against Dr. Manhattan for being the one actually granted godlike powers? And I should mention, if you guys have questions, we do send out a tweet every Monday where you can respond at WatchmanWatch1, but feel free to hit us up anytime.
We're there.
Yeah. So what do you guys think about that one?
I mean, Veidt sort of seemed to look at Manhattan, Dr. Manhattan, as just another bump in the road, a difficult thing he had to work around, in the same way that he's a problem solver who just likes to solve the problems in his way.
Yeah.
So I don't think he hates him. I think he welcomes the challenge.
Yeah, but he also had that weird interaction with him where he was like, I was right, right? Acknowledge me. So it wasn't like he hates him. He kind of keeps him on a pedestal, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He worships him.
Yeah.
Like three-letter word, starts with G.
Dog.
There you go. Thanks, guys. This is from Daniel Cabral, also on Twitter. Two thoughts. First, Senator Keen, the new Night Owl. Second, I believe Louis Gossett Jr. is not the older child, but the baby that's saved. Maybe the two episodes are following the letter. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a guy on Twitter, your friend in time.
Wow.
Just a guy on Twitter. Love the honesty, man.
I like the idea of the senator being the new Night Owl. I think that's a cool theory.
Yeah, I do too, because if he's a bad guy, it's interesting to have him taking on the mantle of a hero. And what does that mean for all of this?
Yeah, and we've only seen touches of Night Owl with the owl ship and with the goggles that Angela Abar wore.
Also the coffee mug. The Regina
again,
King.
I'm pretty sure that was an elephant.
Might have just been a mug.
No.
Sometimes a mug is just a mug.
No, she said it on a talk show that mug was a Easter egg.
Oh, wow.
you got to the edge of almost saying owl, but instead you said Easter egg.
Yep.
Easter egg for what?
And it also felt like you really ran out of gas and realized you were just bullshitting.
I'm not bullshitting.
What talk show?
One of them. It was Kimmel or fucking Fallon. It was one of them.
Oh, yeah. One of the Jimmies.
Yeah. One of the Jimmies.
Yeah. Like on our ice cream and our ice cream truck.
Yep.
Nice ice cream with Jimmies. Well, anyway, great question. Let's talk about the Louis Gossett Jr., not the older child, but the baby that saved. What do you think about that?
I mean, I don't know why, but could be.
Yeah. There's something with the baby, right? Like,
yeah.
They're not just going to be like, yes, Will is the boy, and he threw away the baby in the garbage.
Otherwise, why have a baby?
I don't know. That's why.
Why have a baby?
Seriously, why would you do that? Yeah. Why would you bring a baby into this fucking world?
Exactly, because they make you sick, and it fucks up your voice.
It's all coming out now.
And then you put that baby in a Halloween costume, and then some asshole just puts candy on their fucking head. Like, that's how that works.
Or a Mr. Topical Daily
Getting
Show.
Getting political, yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to submit this as your Daily Show reel?
Maybe.
Audio reel. Bold choice.
Yeah. Hey, guys. This is my audition for The Daily Show. It's a half-hour podcast about Watchmen.
Yeah. Good luck finding the joke I told.
Ooh, this is intriguing.
Yeah.
All right. This is from Rockdale Tiger. Will equals Hooded Justice? I think we've talked about
that. We did talk about that. And,
And... ooh, another PDpedia aficionado over here. Based on PDpedia, Judd is fourth generation Tulsa police, thinking the Klan robe may be a hand-me-down, like y'all joked about, thinking we'll learn a lot more about Judd and Angela's fathers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
I hope so.
But, I know we talked about this, but, I don't think it's just a casual hand-me-down. It's meaningful that he had that set up like a shrine in his secret closet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just a casual hand-me-down.
That is not...
I can't wait to break into your closet.
Yeah, that is not a casual hand-me-down.
All of my Nazi memorabilia is in
there. Those plates are just fun. Eat on them.
They're hand-me-downs. The casual hand-me-downs. It's no big deal. Don't worry about it. And what about Judd and Angela's fathers? I think that would make a lot of sense to find out more about them.
Like a full flashback. I mean, this show feels like it's going to be sort of stepping closer through history, specifically the characters that we know are like Will, who's growing up in this time. I feel like we're going to step closer to the present day in each episode and get a cold open that deals with some aspect of history.
Yeah. Also, there's a response to Rockdale Tiger from John George. Exactly my thoughts, too, that Klan robe looked pretty ratty, and considering white supremacists in this time have a dim view of the police, would you really wear your badge on the outside? Mm. That was a weird detail, right? That the sheriff's badge was on the Klan robe. Usually you try to hide your identity with those, I think.
Yeah. I mean, technically, that's what a mask does. Mm. And have your badge out with your name on it. But I also think that's not maybe how he wore it. That's a shrine he had that exposes his beliefs.
Yes. Which exposes both things that he's all about.
Or his inner truth, which is like he's a cop and he's also a
horrible person.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, you don't go to a lot of Klan rallies where they have "Hello, my name is" tags going on there.
Yeah.
How would you know that?
Let's move on. This is one more
tweet.
How
do they know who they're talking to?
Yeah. Who are you? And you're going to be like, hey,
that's the whole
guy in the hood.
I don't want to get in. I don't want
to
talk about
it. I'm just saying,
the
like, you got to relate to it.
I bet they're doing a lot of pulling up their masks, like, hey, it's me, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm the racist who lives, who works in the garage.
It's me, Dave. I've got the stuff.
What stuff?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what stuff do
it's
they
It's a reference that you guys don't get.
Cool.
Yeah, okay. What, for one of your jibbies or whatever on your talk show?
Yep.
It's a real Easter egg going on over there. This is the last one from Rockdale Tiger as well. Was Judd one of the men who attacked Angela? She stabbed the one guy in the shoulder neck area, and that's where his bandages were. I'm thinking we'll definitely revisit that scene. Yeah. What stopped the guy who was about to shoot her, Cal? I definitely think this is a big question. For whatever reason, this kind of went by me when I was watching the episode that you guys pointed it out. What do you think happened in that lost time?
Between when she passed out and woke up?
Yeah.
I mean, I love the theory that it was Judd, and I think he maybe didn't kill her because he's like, whoa, she's badass. So she just...
Now he also loves her.
Not to keep calling out...
He didn't
out
know
the,
her then.
Right, but I mean, he was kind of like impressed by her, and that kind of really formed the relationship.
I'll throw something else even bigger out at you, and this is very unformed, but what if there is a generational thing with the Crawfords and the A-bars and they're tied together in some way? Because if there is some sort of vast conspiracy, this is a little detail that, again, came up in the supplementary material. Judd Crawford used to work security for Senator Keene Jr. before, I believe, his father died. I may be misremembering that. And then he moved into becoming the sheriff of Tulsa. Hmm. So if... No, I'm sorry. He became the sheriff of Tulsa after the White Knight. He joined the police force as soon as everybody was murdered during the White Knight. He moved up to become the sheriff. So if he is a real bad dude, it could be some sort of thing where he's working with Senator Keene and they engineered the White Knight and he came on Angela, needed her in some way to be in place for some sort of thing, and then ultimately became the sheriff that way.
I think that's a great theory.
Yeah. That's a great theory.
Cool.
Supplemental material wins again.
There we go. Petepedia, right? Petepede?
Yeah, sure.
Where do you find the time to write all that stuff?
Yeah.
You know, you make time for the things you love.
Oh. Thanks.
That's why we're here together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very sweet. If you would like to make time for the things that you love, you can support us on patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by. We'll chat with you about Watchmen and maybe some other things. We'll see what happens. You can follow us on Twitter, WatchmenWatch1, on Instagram and Facebook, WatchmenWatchPodcast. Also, subscribe and comment on the podcast on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, or the app of your choice. We'll be back with a regular episode for episode 3 right after it airs on Sunday, and then another bonus episode after that. And remember, we taped this podcast 35 minutes ago.
Come say hello to the ice cream man.
Oh my God. I'm just a guy on Twitter.